So what are those little rings that are moving then?
Those are ripples. They are from the motion of the water droplets jumping up and down.
Okay. Thank you very much. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So this is not just a drop coming down. This is a drop that is coming up. So with the manifestation of the blood of Jesus coming, then it has already hit. You know, I watched a video about that thing that happened in whatever it is, Tonga. And this is kind of what happened. Okay, so under the water, there was something that hit and it came up and it caused escalation to happen. Now, in that case, it was for negative, but in our case, it is for positive. And so praise the name of the Lord Most High. So when Farrell and I came up with this, we kept looking at pictures, and then I said, this is it. Because all of those ripples are us. Because we are the ones that are going to escalate what God is doing. And it goes to the ends of the earth. Amen? Okay, so today I begin talking about what we're going to have this week, manifestation. Okay, so manifestation, we're going to have it today. I'm going to explain some things that are revelatory to me. I hope it's revelatory to you. And Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, we will be meeting live to go through the last week. I didn't write the last week for you because I knew God would show me stuff and he would bring it live. And so we're going to do Tuesday night. Say we're going to do Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. Okay, and we're going to get into this. So I'm going to first, as I always do, give you the definition of manifestation. Manifestation is the embodiment or image. Manifestation is the embodiment or image. Okay? It means to materialize, to come into existence, to arise, and to start. It is the public demonstration of power and purpose. It is conclusive evidence and proof, Steve Champagne. That's what it is. So God is moving in the church so we can be as real as Jesus was on the earth, showing the heart of the Father in real time with real manifestations following. Amen? So unless we, the bride, don't understand who we are and what God has provided for us as his chosen people, we're not going to be able to walk in this. The problem with it is not that he has not provided this for us. The problem is we haven't received it because we don't have a revelation of it yet. But I pray, and I've been praying, that we would get this revelation today so we will walk, talk, and think differently and align ourselves with what God has done. So through this week, we're going to find out what season we've been in and what season we are in now. That we're going to find out how to walk in confidence and change our culture. And we're going to find out how to be spirit-led and engage with the spirit. Okay? So that's this week. All right. So let me talk to you. And we're going to be in Genesis today. So let me tell you what I said last week about Moses. Stop thinking about what you already know. As soon as I say Genesis 1, you go, I already know that. No, you don't. Neither did I. We've read it a million times. But there's always new progressive revelation. Okay, so God has continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit because he highlights to different people in different seasons for different reasons. And this is one of the reasons. So we're going to start on this today. What God has provided for us as his chosen people. So Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Anything missing here? Him, them, she. Okay. Male, female, and God. Okay. So we are created in whose image? His exact image. Okay. That sounds like an extreme statement, but you're going to have to go with me here to get the discovery of this. Okay. So the next verse, first part, then God blessed them. Blessed means altogether abundantly. God put his full blessing on mankind. He didn't withhold any of his life. He brought his full blessing to mankind. And so God didn't withhold not one thing from Adam and Eve. Not one thing. He gave them all of it. Okay, so he gave them qualities of the Godhead. He gave them intellect. He gave them the capacity to see from a different perspective like he did. He gave them the ability to operate in delegated authority in the kingdom of God over all the earth. Okay, so he created mankind as his representatives, and he desired all of his children to have all of their assets in place and be able to utilize them properly. Okay, so then it says, and God said to them, this is what I want from you. I want you to be fruitful. Do you want to be fruitful for God? Well, he commanded them. Be fruitful and multiply. Take what I have given you, the blessing and all that I am. Take the kingdom that I have given to you and gave you to reign on the earth over. And I want you to multiply that. And I want you to fill the earth and subdue it. You take dominion over fish, birds, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Every living thing that moves on the earth. God did not specify natural or spiritual. He gave them both under their authority. They had authority over the natural realm, and they had authority over the spiritual realm. Got that? Okay. So he gave them all dominion. So how much dominion do they have? All dominion. So basically, if it's not dead, they had dominion over it. And at that point, there was no death. So they had dominion over everything. So they were in charge of the earth under God and under his command. You see that? Okay, Genesis 2:7. So how did this happen? How did they get the supernatural ability to operate in this? Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and a man became a living being. So this blast, this wind, when he breathed into them, it was a wind of divine inspiration, and he made them come alive by the breath of his spirit. By the breath of his spirit, so they could operate as he had chosen them to. Alive, fresh, merry, happy, and strong. He gave them joy. He gave them ability. He gave them strength. He gave them wisdom. He gave them revelation. How many of you think you're operating in all of that right now? Okay, so it happens when you're in full understanding that you're operating under the kingdom of God. We're going to get there. It's a key. Okay, so you can say, I'm working on it. We're working on it. Yes, we are. And this is the year of a manifestation of it in Jesus' name. So now, the Lord God at Genesis 2:8, he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And out of the ground, he made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So if you've ever been in an orchard of any kind, you can only imagine what it would look like, but glorious. Everything was good to look at and good to eat. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we like? Okay. You're on a fast, I know. Okay. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So how significant do you think these two trees are? Yeah, everything follows what happens with these two trees. True? So tree one, it's vital for us to know that this tree is the tree of life, and it was representing how God wanted them to operate and live. It's the representation. So we're supposed to live our life as with life walking, talking, associating, experiencing the life of God, including immortality. They were not going to die at this point. Okay, so under God's will and God's divine rule, they were to operate with his divine authority. So I want you to think about that. Adam and Eve, created by God, the breath of the Holy Spirit blown into them so that they operate in dunamis power. They are walking, they are talking, they are associating with God. They are experiencing their life with God. There is no time at this point that they are not with God. They know they're with God. They are completely immersed in God's will. They are walking in his kingdom purposes. This is who they are, and they have the ability to bring his divine will and his divine rule because they've been delegated authority by him. Correct? Okay, so Adam and Eve are experiencing God's will, and they're in operation with it. Hallelujah. And so he told them, here's what I want you to do. Dress the garden and keep it. It means service it. Keep it functioning properly. God could have just sat him in the middle of Eden and said, you don't have to do anything. Except for God wants us to engage with him. He wants us to operate in his authority. He wants us to care. He wants us to put our hands to something. He wants us to get involved. And so he said, I want you to get involved with what I am delegating you to do. And so this beautiful place where you are, you need to put your hand to keeping it beautiful. So dress it, service it, keep it functioning properly. And then he said, keep it. It means to hedge about it, guard it, and protect it. You are here to guard and to protect. Okay, so now the kingdom begins to come more into view. So do you understand that God has put a system in place? Correct? Okay, so here's the system. God's system is this. Operate in the life that God created you to operate in. You have a life that God wants you to operate in. Guess what? It's full of life. He wants his system is that he wants us to take care of what he's given to us and to rule and take dominion over any intruders. Okay, so we are supposed to guard and protect what he has entrusted to our care. All right. Then he said, here's your instructions of what you can't do. The Lord said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. That means you can enjoy my provision fully, freely and fully. Everything, I want you to have good times and good things, and I want you to be in my glory, and I want you to know me every minute of every day, and I want to fellowship with you, and I want you to operate in wonderful things. It's what I provided for you. And so enjoy it fully, freely. Doesn't cost you anything. Just enjoy it. Whew. You know, I used to say it's like a free pass to Disney World, except for I'm mad at Disney, so I'm not going to say it anymore. Okay, so I know you're still going to go. I'm just saying. Okay, so, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely, what? Die. Now, obedience doesn't just bring the blessing. Obedience keeps the blessing intact. That is a great thing to write down and have in your memory and apply to your life. Okay? Disobedience means death. Just figure that out. Let's see. This or that? Which one do you want? Okay, so it really means this. Ooh. Their God rule under God's kingdom could be given over to another kingdom through their disobedience. So if you're not in obedience to God and operating in his kingdom, if you get in disobedience, you have just empowered Satan's kingdom. Okay. You don't get so excited about that. Okay. So in disobedience, death would come and their authority would be given over to the kingdom intruder. Okay. So death is going to come to them. Not in the natural as we suppose. Like we read that and we go, oh, yeah, they're going to die now. Well, yes, they were going to lose their body eventually, their physical body. But he's not just saying that. He's saying in the day that you disobey me spiritually, morally, socially, relationally, and physically, you are going to miss out on the way my kingdom works, because you've transferred out of my will into self-will. Woo. So now, this tree of knowledge represents human self-rule. So that causes you to be independent from God. Now you're making all your own decisions. How many of you know you're not that smart? Right? And so selfishness is going to now reign. If you disobey, you just open up the door and selfishness, which is, that's why I always said this is the biggest sin, because it is. I'm going to prove it to you. And so it undermines the kingdom of God and it gives way to the kingdom of God, darkness. It gives way to it. And so Satan knows this. So enter Satan. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle, cunning, and crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. So here he is, this creature. Now, do they have dominion over everything that moves on the earth? Is this creature moving on the earth? Do they have authority and dominion? Oh, what's this creep doing then? Yeah. And so he's not only creeping, he's talking. And so he said to the woman, has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So the first thing that Satan uses to displace the kingdom of God and to put his kingdom in order is doubt about the character of God. Did God really say that? Oh. Did God really say you should not do something? I thought he gave you everything. How come he's withholding this? And so he plants the seed of doubt. And then the woman said to the serpent, well, we can eat of the tree, of the fruit, of all the trees of the garden, but out of her mouth, she says, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden. Now, God has it right in the middle because it's the center of everything. Obedience or disobedience. And God said, you shall not eat of it or touch it or you will die. So Eve understood the rules. Do you see that? This is not a mistake. She understood the rules. Oh, poor Eve. No, not poor Eve. Stupid Eve. Okay. And so there's only one rule not to do. One rule. Don't eat of that tree. Hello. One. And that's how it starts. And so the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. I can't do that very well, but okay. So now what he just said is, God's a liar. That's what he just said. God's a liar. That should make you rise up right there. That should have been her clue. And he was there with her, so he does not get a pass. And so, what do you mean? You shall not surely die. He said, you're that I'm supposed to rule over. Get the heck out. That's what they should have done, but they didn't. Okay. And, makes me mad. Makes me mad. Okay. So he said, Satan, For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm pretty evil, aren't I? Sounding evil? I'm not evil, just saying, but okay. And so now, here's what he's actually saying to them. Your eyes are not really fully open. Isn't that what he said? When you eat of it, then you'll have open eyes. Do they have open eyes? I mean, they're walking and talking with Jesus. Well, God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Every day. Every day. I think their eyes are open. This is a ridiculous statement. Okay? And he said, but look at what he says. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You little creep. Do you know why he said that? See, they were already operating in full spiritual eyes of the garden like God was. But Satan said, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Do you know why? Because that's what he always wanted. Oh, bingo. This is what Satan wanted. He wanted to be God's equal. He wanted to be self-ruled, not God-ruled. And so now he is imposing upon mankind his wishes, and he's trying to entice them to be like him and his evilness. Isaiah tells us it in 12 and 13. How are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Okay. So this is Satan's will. This is what he desires, and he is imposing or offering this imposition to them to operate like he does. And so it entices them as well. Ugh. And when the woman all of a sudden changed her way she was seeing because she was falling for it, when she saw that the tree was good for food, not that every other tree in the garden was also good for food, but this tree, oh, suddenly it looks pretty good. You know, like when you look at the world and you think the grass is greener on the other side and you think, oh, this will be better than what I have now under the kingdom of God rule. Under the kingdom of God rule, I am under God's rule, but I want to just make up my own mind. I just want to do it my way. They have songs about it. I did it my way. Big dummy, so did they. Okay. And so she began to see from a different kingdom perspective. The deception began to operate because the soul had opened the door to the enemy, the soulish realm. Had opened the door to the enemy. So Eve saw that it was good for food. You know what that is? To fill her stomach, to satisfy the body. She saw that it was good for the body. She wanted something else to eat. Pleasant to her eyes means it was delightful. She was lusting after it. It was satisfying her soul. All of a sudden, her soul started longing for something that it was lusting after besides God's presence. Okay, so then she desired it to make her wise, to have beloved, coveted, precious things, because it was going to make her wise, which was to satisfy her spirit. But didn't she already have everything she needed under God's kingdom? So Satan has now presented his menu, his perverted menu, to God's authentic pure menu, and she is about ready to feed the wrong spirit. Here's the wrong food, here's the right food. All right. So she took of the fruits thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the end result, that is, instead of enjoying God's presence, they're hiding from God's presence. And the Lord called to Adam and he said, where are you? And he said, well, I heard your voice in the garden. Even in their sin, did God cut off communication? No. And I was afraid. Okay. And I was naked. So I hid myself. So now, here's what we know. When they transferred their allegiance to obedience to God and operating under the kingdom of God, when they said, oh, yeah, I'm seeing a little bit different. I think what the world or Satan has to offer us, oh, I don't know, it glitters. It looks like it's something I might like a little bit better than what I have. And it didn't even make logical sense, did it? Because sin doesn't even make logical sense. It's just a choice that we make because we're tripped up of deception. But we still have a choice. And so they put themselves out of God's will and came over here. And as soon as they said, all right, and they swallowed it, all of a sudden they began to operate under a whole different system. And what did it do? The glory that they walked in that covered them and kept them and made them be able to operate in everything that God told them they could operate in dissipated, and suddenly they could see their naked body. They were walking around in the glory cloud. They were walking around with the fullness of God's glory. They had dominion over everything. And now all of a sudden, they are afraid. They looked at themselves and they go, dang, what happened? We got to cover up. Because when you take yourself out from underneath God's dominion, you have to do a cover up. Because you're operating under a different kingdom, and now you are fearful because you are ashamed. Okay. And then you go hiding from God. You know what you do. Like you sin and you think you're going to hide from God. Like he don't know. You know, he was with you when you did it. That's why God has a flat head. I told you. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. And so, the kingdom of darkness is now in operation here. Fear has now entered. And fear has taken over their responses and guided their actions. That's what happened. What is the opposite of faith? Yes. They, by their own choice, have taken themselves out of the rule of the kingdom of God and submitted themselves to the rule and dominion of Satan's kingdom. Everybody say yuck. Yeah. So when that happened, something else happened. And the man said, the woman that you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. Now, the next thing that happens is that Adam blames Eve. Hey, my fault is hers. Actually, it's God's because he gave it to her. And then the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So she blames Satan. So they're not willing to own their own mistake. They're excusing themselves and immediately they're blaming others. Do you know why? Because they're operating under the kingdom of darkness. Okay. This is how Satan's system works. So, here's how it works. It's lined out right there for you. You are more aware of your natural man, and you operate in the flesh instead of the Holy Ghost. You are more aware of your natural man than you are operating holy and under God's rule. That's Satan's system. Fear takes over your responses and actions. So if fear is controlling your life, your responses and your actions, Satan's system is somewhere working in your life. And you refuse to admit your failures and you always blame everybody else. Everybody else is to blame. You're not taking it. Now, before this, they never would have done that. They're operating in the kingdom of God. Why would they do that? They don't have to do that. They're operating in the fullness of God. They have everything they ever needed to have life and life abundantly. Okay, so are you aware how much this is in operation right now? Okay, are we aware how much the church is in operation in this? We cannot excuse ourselves either. Okay? And are you aware that the kingdom that we may be operating in our personal lives and sometimes in our corporate lives is this wrong kingdom? It's the wrong kingdom. We're choosing the wrong kingdom. But here's the good news. God's kingdom is always available. It will never fail. Okay? In fact, this is why I love God so much. He is so amazing. Okay. Immediately, God sees what has happened, and he steps up. And the first thing he does is he makes Satan aware that there's going to be somebody that is going to come and going to take this back from you. You might have won this little scrimmage here, but I got a plan. And so my kingdom's going to have no end. And so in Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And it will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, Satan, he's saying, Satan is going to bruise her head, which is the head of the human body, the principal, the supreme leader, Jesus. It's Jesus. Okay, but you will bruise his heel. Are you ready for what this means? It means Jesus is going to bruise Satan's tracks. His tracks. Oh, I love this. Okay, so God never changed his mind about providing for his people what he provided in Eden. He never changed. He still wants you to operate in all of that. He is so excited about you operating in all of that. He didn't take it back. They messed up and gave it away, but from as soon as they did, he provided a way back. Okay. And so, Old Testament people, we understand that because of this sin, because of the fall of mankind, because of their choices to believe deception, because of their choice to operate under a different kingdom, that they were operating and God had to put all these rules down that they could never keep because he's trying to show them, this is what your self-rule does for you. Your stupid self will never be able to get above what Satan is offering. Not by yourself. You can't do it. But that's why he had a savior planned. And so, in the Old Testament, what did they do? They operated under the flesh more than the spirit. Read it. You should be reading through the Bible this year. If you read the Old Testament, you will find, oh, they're operating in the flesh, they're operating in the flesh, they're operating in the flesh, they're operating in the flesh. They're doing it their way, they're doing it their way. God even warned them, but they're not listening. They're operating under a different kingdom. And then they're operating in fear more than faith. They're not believing God for anything. They're just operating in fear. And then they're blaming everybody else. That's what they do. They just blame everybody else. But Jesus has already been set in order to come and erase Satan's tracks. I think it's exciting. So, what did he bring us? Oh, freedom from deception. Hallelujah. You don't have to be deceived anymore. I mean, you could choose it, but you don't have to. Freedom from fear. You can choose it, but you don't have to. Freedom from self-rule. You can choose it, but you don't have to. Freedom from your lost identity. You can find your real identity again that God planned for you from the foundations of the earth. Restoration of God's kingdom reigning through his people. That is who we are and what he has provided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, right now, God is bringing revelation to his church. This is the season. If you miss this season, I don't know what to tell you. You have to hang on. You got to hang on and get close to the Spirit because he's given revelation of not only who God is, but who God is in you. He wants you to operate in kingdom thoughts. He wants you to operate in kingdom actions. He wants you to operate in him, you know, you and me and you, no room for the enemy. That's where he wants us to be, in that lane, in that river. And he's saying, church, hello, I have taken you back to Eden. I have taken you back where you're covered in my glory. I have taken you back where you can walk above the sin. You can walk above the lies. You don't have to get down in the dirt. You don't have to lose this battle. You have to just grab hold of the truth of what he's made you to be. He has made you to have dominion and to rule over everything that moves upon the earth. Well, hello, are we doing that? No, because we little by little took a bite. We took a bite over here, a bite over there, a bite over there, a bite over there, until we have empowered the rule and the dominion of flesh, which puts us under the rule and dominion of darkness. We can take it back, though, because he already won. Whew. Okay, so the escalation is that we're going to escalate ourselves right out of this stupid place we are. And we're going to escalate ourselves in the Spirit of Almighty God because he is the center of our focus. We cannot focus on what... I'll try to be nice. We cannot focus on any system that the world has to offer. I don't care if you think it's good or bad. I don't care whose side you're on. Here's what side you need to be on. The side of the Lord. You see, our focus, we can get bogged down in a minute if we... Listen, everywhere you go, there's fights. There's fights everywhere. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Get a vaccine, don't get a vaccine. Just, okay, listen, do whatever you want. Ask God. Do what God tells you to do. No condemnation. Just do what he tells you to do. And quit arguing about it because you're producing the kingdom of darkness. You start operating in arguments and debates and operating in what he's offering you. We just need to operate in obedience to God. And you know what God is focused on? He's focused on his church. You know what he's focused on? He's focused on his bride. You know what he's focused on? He's focused on you getting this message alive in your heart. So you go around and you go, oh, you don't feel good? Hey, I know what to do about that. I operate from a different kingdom. And I have a king who has already provided the answer. And guess what? I'm carrying it on the inside of me. Would you like me to pray for you? You see? And so, but we go, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, try again. I mean, everybody that's ever become a great healer and all of those healing tents and all of the, everybody laid hands on somebody that didn't get healed. You know why? You have to learn to exercise your authority. You have to learn to exercise your faith. You don't stand idly by waiting for somebody else to do it. When Jesus came, he said, tag, you're it. You're it. Okay. Oh, boy. So we have to realize and recognize what God has created us to be. And those who do will manifest the very presence of God in full array. So, in full array, like, oh, Adam and Eve, in the glory, walking with him because he's the pure essence that was in operation through them. Adam named all the animals. Pretty smart guy. They had dominion over every single thing. Jesus came. Now, I'm just going to add this little tidbit in here for you because it's just fun. He's immutable. He is permanent. He is enduring. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He came to fulfill the scripture of bruising Satan's heel, and he won back all of the power, and he took our sins, and he routed the enemy, and he restored our ability to operate in the spirit instead of the flesh, and he triumphed over the enemy, and he took the keys to the kingdom before he left, and then he went up and he took the seat at the right hand of the Father. But before he took the seat at the right hand of the Father, he came down and he grabbed a hold of our hand and he said, you're sitting with me in heavenly places because I bought back your rule and your reign and your dominion. Yes. Now rule. Take authority. Have dominion. Walk in my glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! That's a chair spinner, people. Oh, come on. Through us. Through you. Through me, through us, the bride, the church, his glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle, you know why? We're out of the flesh. We don't operate out of the flesh when we choose the spirit. We don't operate in the flesh when we are in obedience to God. We can be in obedience to God, and we don't have to fall under the tricks of the enemy anymore. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to blame everybody else. Oh my gosh. Well, they did that to me, and they're doing and Jesus did this. Jesus redeemed you from the curse. He gave you the blessing. Keep your eyes on what Jesus has given you. Keep your eyes above and not beneath. Get out of the mud with the lies of the enemy. Get out of the fray. Get above and start reading from above. You are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, your Lord. Act like it. And that's the journey that we're on. That's the journey that we're on. Well, what does that look like? Well, how do I do that? Well, what? Begin. You have to first get this message alive in your heart. If you should listen to this and listen to it. Not because I wrote it, because he wrote it. Because this is what his word said. This is what Jesus did. We get our eyes fixed on what he has provided, and we never have to go back. This is when we start operating like Jesus Christ on the earth. This is when we start, they go, oh, I don't know what's with these people. I don't know what's wrong with that. Every time I get around that John T., I don't know, there's something about him. And then he'll say something, and it's like really amazing stuff. And he just says these things, and they're so profound. You know why? Because he's operating in the kingdom rule of God, and because he has the wisdom of God, and out of his mouth comes the ability for someone else to catch it. And when they catch it, they can catch a hold of who Jesus is and what he's provided for them, and then boom, you bring him into the kingdom. Oh yes, salvations are going to happen. Multitudes are coming in. Multitudes in every nation are turning to Jesus. You know why? He's being offered by the bride. Because we, his church, are going to start operating in the fullness of what he has already provided and quit making excuses for why we don't. Okay. In making us one with him, he defeated the rule of the enemy. He has already defeated him. Do we know this? Yeah. Okay. We know it in our head, but we haven't fully realized it in ourselves because we're operating less than the bloodline. So, when we get rid of our self-rule, when we realize, you know, it won't take long for you to figure this out. Not if you ask God to help you. Not if you ask God to help you. You say, God, I don't want any self-rule in my life anymore. And then when you go to rule yourself, then you know there's a guard that the Holy Spirit will put around your heart. And he'll go, ding, 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 ding. And you'll have to go, oh. Is this God rule or self rule? Is this God's idea or my idea? Is this a God thing or a me thing? You'll know if you want to know. You won't know if you want to make excuses for yourself. You won't know if you don't want to change. If you want to be the same, do the same thing, be ineffective, make excuses of why you're ineffective. Be ashamed, get in fear, don't take dominion. You can, you have free will. Oh, but the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to because we have a Savior who bought back the dominion and is offering it to us that we can walk in the glory of God and the dominion of God and take rule again over everything that creeps around us. And there are some creepy things that we need to take care of. But we can. And it's going to happen to those that are hungry and will believe it. Amen? So now, Eve gave her dominion to the enemy. And when she did, Satan took that authority that she gave to him, and he basically took her position and Adam with her. But listen to, I just want to add this because I want you to see the redeeming love of God and how thorough he is. You know how thorough he is. So here's what happened. Eve said, plink. And God said, man, the seed. And you know what he did? He brought the seed of a woman through a woman. He came and the Holy Spirit hovered and brought conception inside of a woman to redeem what a woman started. Do you see what he did? He said, you know, I'm not going to hold that against you. In fact, I'm going to redeem it. Because everything you do that's been wrong, he's got a redemption for it. Every mistake that you've made, it's okay. He knows how to clear it up. He did that on purpose. He put that right there in Luke. He put it in there because of Genesis. Eve, Mary, seed restored. Kingdom restored, the ruler restored, your choice restored. You can operate now under the fullness of the kingdom of God, and Satan can't stop you unless you hand him your keys. Okay. Okay, so why aren't we operating in the manifestation that we need to yet? Because we lack revelation. We just lack revelation. I hope you're getting revelation from the sermon. I hope it's opening up your eyes to something. I'll continue. I have some more things for you, but if I go there, we're going to be here a while. And I'd rather hold it for Tuesday. So here you are on the cliffhanger of how to manifest. And so we are going to learn how to walk in the manifest glory of God that he has given to us. Now, this ought to excite you. You should be so excited about this. You should be like telling everybody, hey, man, there is a higher way to live. There's a higher place to be. There's a higher understanding that we have to operate by. My mind is about ready to get blown. My mind is going to operate under a different kingdom. I believe some lies, but you know what? I'm submitting myself out of this self-rule, and I'm choosing God's rule under Jesus Christ, and he is going to show me every single thing that needs to be adjusted. And when he does, I'm going to say, yes, yes, Lord, clean it up, get it out, get that bad boy out, get that bad boy out. Replace it with our loving, kind, full of mercy God that wants to operate in fullness through you so he can show himself off to the world and win them to him so that the bride will be without spot and wrinkle and so that we can bring forth the greatest revival so Jesus can come. But he is coming now before he comes. Amen. And he's coming, and he's like, okay, can I come through you? 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 Ooh, yes. Can I come through you? I can't wait. Do not take that baby away. Nobody touch the baby before me. Can I come through you? Can I come through you? Can I come through you? Can I come? Can I manifest my glory through you? Can my kingdom come through you? Can my kingdom come through you? Can my kingdom come through you? Because that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who will respond to the call of what he's offering. He has already paid the price so that you are totally restored and have the ability to rule and reign and take, you know, a demon manifests in front of you. Ha ha! They're just manifesting because they're mad. Because they got to go now. Sickness has to die. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus is higher. Amen. Miracles will be normal in the body of Christ for those who will rule and be reigned under the king and take their dominion and their authority that he has won back for them through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, whom we sit beside in heaven. Any questions? Hallelujah. And so, we better get ready. People, get ready. Because Jesus is coming. And he's coming through you if you will only allow him to. And so, this was in the fasting guide today, which you probably didn't read because, you know, it's early. But it's okay. I'm going to tell you some of the stuff. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Any questions? Okay, then, since then you have been raised with Christ, this is Colossians 3, set your heart on things above. Stop setting your heart on stupid, ordinary stuff. It's not satisfying, number one, and it'll just distract you. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Don't even think about the earthly things. Don't even go there. Okay? For you died. Ooh. Hallelujah. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Your life now gets to be hidden in Christ in God. You know what that is? That's impenetrable by the enemy. I am now operating inside of God's plan for my life. And the enemy cannot take me out of here. So, now, here's the challenge, and I'll close. Consider the members of your earthly body And here's how you're supposed to consider. Dead to immorality. Dead to immorality. That means immorality does not entice you anymore. You're dead. You know, if you're dead, have you seen a person that's dead? They're not in operation anymore. Impurity. Consider the members of your earthly body dead to impurity. Consider the members of your earthly body dead to ungodly passions and evil desires. Consider the members of your earthly body dead to greed, which leads to idolatry. Greed. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also walked when you were living in them. But now you put them all aside, along with anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, lies, since you laid aside the old self with all of its evil practices. Glory to God. And we have put on the new self. Woo! That's where we're going. We're going to understand what it means to put on our new self and being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who has created us. We're going to shift our brains. We're going to shift our culture of thinking. We're going to shift the way we do things because this culture is changing where we just operate by whatever hits us next. Oh, no, we're going to be on purpose hitting things back in the spirit where warfare actually matters and where we actually gain the victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. How do we do that? We have to know this. Jesus loves us completely. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave one thing out. He gave us everything. He is the lover of your soul. He's the lover of your soul. Now, if the musicians would come back, you're still here, Lou? I want you to do that song. Because here's the deal. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to now think about what the words have been spoken. What are you under self-rule? And as you proclaim this, I believe this isn't a song. I don't believe this. I think you're going to get it. He's the lover of your soul. This is where you win. You win because your soul, your emotional realm, your memories, the things that have happened to you, your mind, your emotions, okay, this has to understand that it's loved. He's the lover of your soul. He's going to love you right out of stuff that you think you're trapped in. It's not someone telling you that you're doing something bad that gets you out of it. You know you're doing something bad. It's when you find out his love can bring you out. It's when his love goes into your heart and you know that thing he does and he just massages your heart with his love and then you go, oh my goodness. And you know what changes your life? You don't want to do anything that will hurt him because he paid such a beautiful price for you. And he was hurt so badly so that you don't have to be. So you fall in love with him and you say, Jesus, I just want to make you smile. I just want to please you. I just want to, everything I do, I want it to bring glory to your name. I don't need anything else. I just need it to bring glory to you. And so if there's anything, and this is your prayer today, I pray that this is your prayer. While the Spirit of God is moving and he's here, he is the great convictor of our souls. He will show you what needs to be adjusted and what you need to change. And if you're willing to give him the permission to be the ruler over yourself and not under your self-rule anymore, God gets it back. He'll show you what that is, and you can offer that up to him. And you can say, I just don't want this in my life anymore. This doesn't please you. I don't want it. I want you to help me, Jesus. I want you to take that away. I want to have the fullness of the understanding that your provision has made a way for me to live without this. And I can